on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Friday, October 3rd, 2025 edition of InvestTalk. Yeah, we made it through another week, and now we're solidly into the fourth quarter, and it's going to be an interesting fourth quarter. We're in the midst of a government shutdown, which you would think would unroil markets, but if you look back in history, you'll see that it really doesn't have much effect. It's mostly political gamesmanship. Those that are working or working without pay or furloughed, they tend to get back pay, and so ultimately, it doesn't really impact overall government spending, which that's what drives liquidity and that's what drives asset prices, liquidity. So that shouldn't be a shock to anyone that, you know, today's market was fine. There was really nothing to write home about as we closed the day, although some stories underneath the surface, which we'll discuss in a little bit. Now, it's not just about this fourth quarter. Or 2025, even 2026. It's about helping you make better decisions with your money on a regular basis. And we start with simple principles. Not allowing your emotions to take over in your decision-making process. To build a reasonable thesis about why you might own a particular asset or asset class. Understand the risks and rewards and how that might impact your overall retirement picture, or your broader goals. It might not just be retirement. It might be sending a kid to college. It might be paying for a daughter's wedding. It might be travel, a big trip for your family. It might be a second home. It can be a lot of things. And all of the various goals that you might have require some sort of capital commitment, time commitment. And so does this endeavor of investing and growing your wealth. Also takes capital, so regular savings, as well as time commitment and discipline and data. And that's what we're here to help you with. So don't hesitate to give us a call. You drive the topics on today's show. I can sit here and bloviate about whatever's on my mind, but this show isn't about me. It's about you. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Hi, my name is Rafi from Maryland, D.C. area. I have a question regarding PRDO, Papa Romeo Delta Oscar. What's your opinion on this company? Thanks for what you guys do.
Looking at PRDO, which is Perdoceo Education? I'm not sure how to say it. PRDOCEO is the symbol. The name of the company, PRDO, is the symbol. And it provides educational services through Colorado Technical University, the American Intercontinental University Systems, and the University of St. Augustine for Health Services. So it's for-profit education. But disciplines like business management, nursing, healthcare management, computer science, engineering, information and technology, project management, cybersecurity, criminal justice, etc. Been around since 1994, so it has some, certainly some history to it. And I like that it has a diverse set of programs. And in any environment, more investing in your own education is certainly a good way to go. Especially if you're trying to advance your career. And I think everyone, for the most part, is trying to do that. And so this is a name that has consistently grown its earnings, made $1.06 in 2018, and it's increased its earnings per share outside of 2022, where it dipped slightly to 4%. It's increasing its earnings ever since. 2023 is up 29% to $2.10. Then last year, up 9% to $2.28, and this year it's supposed to be up slightly, but still to $2.33. And a $36 stock, it's about a 15 multiple. But what I like about it most of all is that it has a ton of cash on its balance sheet, about $500 million in just cash. And what are they doing with that cash? Well, they are buying back shares. So certainly like that. They pay a little bit of a dividend, 15 cents a share, about a 1.5% dividend yield. And they just recently increased their dividend. So I like this name, PRDO. I like the profitability. I like the area that it's in. It's a small cap name, only $2.3 billion market cap. Now, it is a bit overbought in the short term, but this would be that type of name that I would probably add to on any dips. So that was PRDO, Perdoceo Education. Once again, I'm not sure how to say it, but I like it. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. Our main focus point is about 18 U.S. cities that don't tax your 401k or pension. So look at cities, but it's mainly regions and states, and this can be a big leg up, especially if you're trying to make the most of your retirement income from a pension or from your 401k and making it last longer, right? Maybe you're on the edge and that tax savings can help in a big, big way. So we'll dig into some of those states. We'll also look at a few other topics. One, which I think is top of mind for most people, it's when will the AI CapEx endgame finally hit? Now, we did the AI webinar on Tuesday, and there's a lot of winners to the AI CapEx boom. But we also see the risks to the overall spend and build out. And it's all, there's almost a guarantee that these companies will pull back to some degree at some point. Now, is it going to be minor? Is it going to be major? Is it going to be completely stopping it because they built too much capacity? It's really hard to know at this point, but clearly the ROI is not there, okay? And so whenever any endeavor, any business endeavor has negative ROI, it will eventually stop. Because if it doesn't stop, these companies will go bankrupt. I'm talking about the big hyperscalers, the Amazons, the Googles, the Metas of the world. And so, did I say Google? I think I did. Alphabet. All the hyperscalers. And so far, this has negative, like I said, it has negative ROI. And what's keeping it going is the other businesses of the hyperscalers that are cash flow positive, that do have positive ROI. So at some point, it's kind of like, remember Meta crashed big time a few years back? Why? Because they decided to deploy billions of dollars into the metaverse, which the market did not like. It turned their cash flow negative, and it was terrible for the business and the stock. And Wall Street revolted. And then they decided to reverse course and say, you know what, let's go back to just running Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and focus on those core businesses. And the metaverse will be a side project. We'll put a little bit of money in, but nothing too much, nothing too crazy. And I think eventually you'll get to something like that, where there's a revolt by Wall Street that says, no, you are going overboard. So we're going to look at this and what might precipitate these companies to pull back. And then manufacturing productivity, it's been in decline. So we'll look at why that might be as well. We also have voice bank questions. One is on selecting a mutual fund. The other is on Schneider Electric. And we also have some comments that came in via the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, we welcome your finance and investment questions right now, but we're heading to a quick break. And on the other, remember, you can call anytime. Leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. And you're listening via the live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area. You can call right now at 888-99-CHART. John from San Jose, hang on. You will be next.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
What do you think's a good price?
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
OKE is the simple, we like the business. I will say we've trimmed it a bit and cut it as a lower weighting.
Now, while gold is hitting these record highs, it's driven by the safe haven demand, by central bank buying across the board.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Josh in North Carolina.
This is Marlo from New York City area.
Let's go take a live call, Sam from San Jose.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
Great insights. Thank you.
888-99-CHART.
You know your business inside and out. Gusto knows payroll, compliance, and benefits as well, so you don't have to. Sounds like a match made in heaven, right? Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Gusto helps you save time with automated tools built right in, offer letters, onboarding materials, direct deposit, and more. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. Get direct access to certified HR experts to help support you through any tough HR situation. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/investtalk and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/investtalk. One more time, gusto.com/investtalk.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every InvestTalk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to John in San Jose, looking at CAIE, which looks like the Kalamos Auto Callable Income ETF.
Yes. That's it, Justin. Correct.
Okay. And you are what's getting you interested in this name?
It's advertised yield closer to 14% mm-hmm. with reasonably sound downside protection. That's how it was advertised, mm-hmm. and I was wondering it sounds too good to be true, to be honest. But mm-hmm. That's why I wanted your expert opinion on that.
All right. First off, you're always go with your gut. Okay. When you see a 14% yield, does that seem like something that's safe?
Usually not.
Okay. So why would this be any different?
Well, if you look at what they are claiming, and if you look under the hood, they are claiming to be having a close to 40% downside protection on principal as well as the coupon payment. And Kalamos is a very reputed house. I have dealt with them before, so I was curious.
Okay. So this is a very complex vehicle, looks like. It's only been around for, a few months now? And it's done fine, but it's also done it's also done fine during a good market environment. And this is trying to mirror the MearCube US Large Cap Vol Advantage Index. Do you know much about that and the history of the performance?
I looked it up. I have some idea and whatever is available as a public literature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with that. But underlying this is a swap with J.P. Morgan. Mm-hmm. So I am the question that I had is, if what they are claiming is true, why would other side take this trade? Why would J.P. Morgan get involved in this? Where do they make money in this?
Well, once again, this is very complex. And remember, J.P. Morgan or Morgan Stanley, whoever's taking the other side, you know, they're doing it for a reason. They're collecting some spread. I'd have to dig into the details. Obviously, this is very complex. This is a very complex. You know, you're talking about auto callables as a laddered structure. It's downside vol and all of that. And this is, at a glance, it's hard for me to really say, hey, this is how it's set up and this is the risks and rewards, et cetera. Because it's once again, it's I don't know a lot about this particular sub-index and its strategy and all of that. So I wish I could give you more. But know that I'm looking at the index that it's trying to follow. Okay. And yep, that index year to date is up 9.6%. 1 year, it's up 5%. Okay.
Yep.
So that's not terrible. Remember, when you have downside protection, you're paying for it with upside potential. And that's great when there's downside protection to worry about. But in this environment, with liquidity good, I wouldn't be quick to try to chase that. Okay, so I don't see any reason to invest in this right now. I would look at the history of it, watch it in down markets as well as up markets. It's only been around for 3 months. It's not enough history. So don't look at the yield. The yield doesn't matter. It's always total return, especially these covered call ETFs, these complex ETFs that quote unquote are supposed to give you a yield. It's giving you that yield. A lot of times it's giving you that yield by returning capital to you. So always look at the total return of the fund over an extended period of time. And there's just not enough time to make that judgment quite yet. Now we're heading to a break. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
The weekend is here or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions. So step up and call in. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's take a look at the market today. As I said at the top of the show, we closed, despite the government shutdown, we closed the day modestly positive once again, except for the NASDAQ. NASDAQ was down about 0.25%, S&P up slightly, the Dow's up about 0.5% there. Large cap growth definitely suffered the most on the day. You had NVIDIA down a bit, Meta down over 2%, Tesla down about 1.4%. And then companies like Google were down a little bit. Amazon down 1.3%. Palantir down 7.5%. So a pretty big reversal on that front. Some strength out of the finance space. Companies like J.P. Morgan, Charles Schwab, Goldman Sachs up decently on the day. Everything else was a bit mixed. Now, on the economic front, you certainly saw the lack of labor market data due to the shutdown was put more emphasis on the September ISM services index. And this is what's important about government data, whether it's not being reported because of the government shutdown or there's potential manipulation because of politics, whatever you want to call it. There's plenty of private data releases that tell you a lot about what's happening in the economy. So you don't necessarily need that much government data. And we looked at that on Wednesday. ADP had negative jobs growth. So most likely this would have been a weak jobs number. But we had the September ISM Services Index. And this is an extremely important release, because services, remember, is about 70%+ of the overall economy. Manufacturing, very small percentage. And the ISM services came in at 50. So anything above 50 is growth. Below 50 is shrinkage. So 50 means flat, neutral. In August, it was 52. So slight growth. Now we're down to 50. And consensus was for it to stay at 52. So certainly missed expectations. New order index did remain in positive territory from 56 down to 50.4. So only slightly in that positive territory. The employment index in contractionary territory for the fourth straight month to 47.2. That was a bit better than the previous month of 46.5, but still, once again, in contractionary territory. And you would think with a weak report that the prices paid index would fall, but it didn't. It actually ticked up from 69.2 to 69.4. So there's another one of those stagflationary reports. Inventory fell into contraction, and overall tariffs remain a recurring concern across various industries. So that was the big news or economic news on the day. Other asset classes, you had treasuries weaker with yields up about 2 to 4 basis points. That was certainly of note. I think a lot of that had to do with the prices paid index. The dollar index was off 0.1%. Gold was up 1.1 to a fresh record high, above $3,900 an ounce for the first time ever. Just a bastion of strength in this market. Bitcoin was up 1.4% and WTI crude up 0.7%, but still down pretty significantly over the past week. So that was the market as we closed this week and head into a fresh full week, the first full week of Q4. Now, my main focus point concerns this story. Top 18 U.S. cities that don't tax your 401k or pensions. And in various states, you can avoid state tax and any tax on 401k or pension withdrawals. And this can help you stretch your retirement dollars. So let's dig into this. And we'll start by region. And let's say you want to stay in the Midwest or you want to go to the Midwest. You can look at a state like South Dakota. And there are plenty of small cities that have very low housing costs or just cost of living in general. Then you have Iowa. Place like Corning, Iowa. The median home value there is only $117,000. So not only are you not being taxed from a state perspective on your income, but your property taxes are very low as well. And that's something to consider. A lot of these states that have little or no state income tax, they tend to have high property tax and high sales tax. So you have to look at the full package here. And obviously, if the home values are very low, then your state, your property tax is going to remain low as well. So South Dakota and Iowa are a couple of good places. Northeast, you have Pennsylvania, as well as New Hampshire. Those are two places that don't tax your, or do you have no tax on state income. And then you have Mississippi. Mississippi is another state in the South, as well as Florida and Tennessee. Other places where no taxes on pension and 401k income. And then in the Southwest, you have Texas mainly, and in the West, Washington and Nevada. And the state that ranks number one at overall in the Tax Foundation's 2025 Tax State Competitive Index, Wyoming. So if you're looking to avoid state taxes, Wyoming is the place to be. Now we're heading into a final break. It's a good, not final break, our mid break. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART. Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow and thinks with you, not for you. Let me tell you how we use Claude. We use Claude to build widgets on our website and to build a data dashboard using data from various information sources. Claude doesn't just give us answers. It helps us think through the problem. For example, Claude found connections across 50-plus sources that we never would have spotted ourselves. With Claude AI, you can connect to your work tools and data, create custom workflows, and benefit from extended thinking mode that maintains context and understanding throughout extensive conversations. Claude is for everyone: financial services, education, AI agents, and coders. Ready to tackle bigger problems? Sign up for Claude today and get 50% off Claude Pro when you use my link, claude.ai/invest. That's claude.ai/invest right now for 50% off your first 3 months of Claude Pro. That includes access to all the features mentioned in today's episode. claude.ai/invest.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let me tell you about the new series that has debuted on our InvestTalk YouTube channel. It's called InvestTalk Innovators. And for our latest episode, I spoke with my good friend, Anthony Katz. He's the visionary founder of Hyperice, and he defined what it means to be an innovator and detailed how technology, including artificial intelligence, is transforming the wellness industry. Love this interview, and I think everyone should go check it out. He's a brilliant mind that's basically pioneered an entirely new industry, and anybody, I think, will enjoy this interview. And you can go check it out at the InvestTalk YouTube channel and look for the InvestTalk Innovators series. Now let's drop in another fresh listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Thomas in Santa Cruz. I'm calling about SBGSY Schneider Electric. I'm calling to ask if this is a breakout, as well as if you guys like the stock, if this would be a good entry point for potentially a long-term hold. I understand this is a massive company. I mean, our perception living in California is PG&E is a big company. This is, I mean, triple or even larger than that. I'm basically asking about if this is a company that would be a good one to hold long term, as well as if they would take advantage of any of the AI theme that we were talking about in the webinar. Hope all is well. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, looking at Schneider Electric. Let me just pull up some data. And yeah, they do benefit from a lot of the AI themes you talked about in the webinar, from energy management, industrial automation, and the like. And certainly their business is doing very well. Let me pull up some, see if I can get some data on this. There we go. Yeah, earnings this year is supposed to be $2.04, up from $1.72 last year, then up to $2.30 next year. It's out of France and probably one of those names that's really underappreciated because it's a foreign name. Now, the other good thing is money is flowing away from the United States. That's why you're seeing great outperformance from foreign markets this year. And Schneider is certainly on that bandwagon. So let me just pull up. I have so many pieces of data to look at. I always like to bring them up and really get a sense of what's happening. Yeah, year to date, it's up nearly 20%. You have to like that. And let me look at $164 billion market cap, about a 1% dividend yield, and a good balance sheet. So you certainly like that. Return on invested capital, about 10.6. Return on equity, around 15%, which is kind of the higher end long term, but I think there's certainly tailwinds to their business that will continue for some time. Although, you know, there is the potential for CapEx to ebb a little bit in the medium term, and that could impact them. But what I like about it is that it's not trading at some egregious multiple. Earning $2.30 next year, that's still a high 20% or high 20 P ratio. That's elevated. That's above market average, but it's not extreme. It's not 60 or 70, something like that. So I like this as a exposure to foreign markets, exposure to AI CapEx, especially in foreign markets. Let me look at their geographic revenue breakdown. Okay, 31% is here in the United States, 12% is in China, 5.6% is in France, Germany's 5%, and then you have UK, Japan, India, Italy. That kind of rounds out the top eight when it comes to its revenue source. So I like that it's well diversified across the world, and I would give this a thumbs up, but understand there are risks to CapEx spends coming down in the medium term. Now on Fridays, we generally make time to fit in a quick rundown of today's or the end of the week key benchmark numbers. So let's do that right now. The two-year yield, 3.56%, down from last week's 3.64%. So nice little move on the two-year, and just continues to price in a Fed that will likely cut once or twice this year. Pull this up, or for the rest of the year. 94% chance of a rate cut at the end of this month, and then another 84% chance there'll be another rate cut in December. And so the market certainly liking that. The market is the equity market's liking that the Treasury market is pricing in a more dovish Fed going forward. Because remember, the two-year yield that typically follows the Fed funds rate. 10-year Treasury yield, 4.11%, also down from 4.17% last week, but not as much as the front end of the curve. So the curve did steepen a bit on the week. Gold priced at $38.84 an ounce, up $123 compared to last week. Once again, a new fresh record high. Silver today was at $48 per ounce, up $91 compared to last week. So I think silver will hit 50, and that is a good sign for the precious metal market overall. Oil, $61 per barrel, down $4.19 compared to last week on potential OPEC supply increases in the month of November. That's at least what the markets are reacting to. Gasoline, $3.15, a 1 cent increase compared to last week. And a lot of that has to do with refining capacity. I think there was a fire here locally last night in Southern California around a refinery, so that could impact some things. But here in California, the average gallon of gas, $4.64, the same as last week. Now, let's pivot over and touch on the CapEx spend from AI. And this is important to understand this perspective, because we just did a webinar on AI, and the second order winners from the AI boom. And while I think there are a lot of underappreciated second order winners, there are some that have already been appreciated. Okay, especially companies like HVAC producers, manufacturers, and those are doing very well. Industrial equipment manufacturers. There's just a lot that is getting already the tailwind from AI and the AI CapEx boom. But the reality is, if you look at history, there will be a bust over this. That this will be an over-investment cycle. Now, you might hear that and say, well, he's bearish on AI. No. What I am is just clear-eyed about what history tells us about new technologies that emerge and how companies chase after those technologies for growth and ultimately overspend on CapEx. And AI stocks right now are in a bubble. I will say that unequivocally. The vast majority of these names in the AI space will be much lower 3 to 5 years from now. Now, when's that trigger, right? They can continue to go up for 3 to 5 more months, right? Maybe even another 12 months. But probably not much longer than that. And you're already seeing the classic signs of the bubble, such as circular financing, doing deals between themselves, NVIDIA investing in OpenAI. There we go. They're buying each other's products and using vendor finance to sustain their growth instead of going to a bank, right? Saying, Hey, we'll sign this contract with you. And the vendor is financing. The vendor is taking on the risk of future payment. This all echoes the CapEx booms of the past. And I was there, I started this business when the last one, major one happened. And that was in the late 90s, around the telecom and internet boom. But as I said on the webinar on Tuesday, is this happened in railroads, electricity, radio, semiconductors, and obviously the internet. So this is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. It just looks a little different. And there are catalysts to the bust. Typically either regulation, crimping the growth, increased competition, or the buyers of the end product unwilling or unable to keep the demand growth going. And once any of those things happen, the lack of cash flow suddenly feeds on itself. Now, what are you seeing now? Europe is starting to regulate it, called the European AI Act. You're seeing competing models to OpenAI, such as DeepSeek in China and K2 in the UAE, using a lot less compute power, so maybe you don't need as much capacity that they're building out. And most importantly, most impactfully, is the tech industry's cash flows are starting to dwindle and being squeezed because they are not getting the requisite ROI and they're just taking this cash flow from other businesses. And ultimately, they'll probably cut buybacks and undermine those share price gains and market valuations, and that's where we'll get the major corrections. And what's interesting about this is that most of these names actually saw huge price declines during what I call tech bubble 1.0. Microsoft, that fell 65% from the peak in March of 2000 until its bottom. Apple was down 80%. Oracle down 88%. Amazon down 94%. That's how much they were down from peak to trough in 2000 to their lows. And many of them took anywhere between 5 and 16 years to get back to even after that big drawdown. So once again, this is typical. First, you have the bubble behavior, too much CapEx. And that's essential to broad adoption of a new technology. And then when the bubble bursts, that excess capacity doesn't go away. It actually allows other companies to come in, utilize that excess capacity at a cheap rate, and build sustainable businesses on the back of that technology. But those that invest late in the cycle, before that ultimate bust, they're the ones that lose the most. Now, how much impact will this have on the overall economy? Well, first is depends on whether it's debt financed or equity financed. The good thing right now is that this is mostly equity financed or financed by cash flow from other segments of the business. So the good news long term on AI is that it almost guarantees that AI will be with us because this capacity will be utilized. It's going to be there. It's not going away. But that will come after some sort of creative destruction period. So make sure you be very wary of holding these names long term. This is a trading market. You can stick with that trade, but what's going to happen is there will be an ultimate huge down day in these names. Kind of like DeepSeek, but something that lasts a little bit longer. And that will be the sign that the top is in. Now, we may not be there yet. We're not seeing that big reversal day. But I understand that we're getting closer by the day. Now, let's keep things moving and pivot back to the InvestDoc Voice Bank. It never closes, so call anytime at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this question is from Northern California. And my question is regarding mutual funds and how to select a mutual fund. I have a rollover IRA, and I'm wondering what type of mutual fund I should look for when trying to invest some spare money that I have. Look forward to hearing your response on the podcast. Thank you.
Oh, that's a loaded question. I need to know more about your risk tolerance level, what your other holdings are, et cetera. Now, how to analyze mutual fund? It's something we used to do webinars on back in the day, so I know a lot about them. Now, mutual funds have become a lot less prevalent in today's market as ETF flows have taken over. And most people are indexing. But there are great mutual funds that are out there, even actively managed ones, especially those in mid caps, small caps, foreign stocks, bond funds. In fact, all of those I just listed, you could probably find better mutual funds than you can ETFs in the marketplace. So if you're looking in those spaces, don't throw out mutual funds if you're just looking at funds in general. Now, the first thing you have to look at is the comparison to the industry. So you have to target a particular sector or a particular style factor, whether that's large cap or growth or value. And then you want to find the best in breed within that particular space. Look at, we use Morningstar.com. There are other tools out there to see which ones are the better performers within or compared to their peers, et cetera. So it's hard for me to tell you, okay, this is what you should buy. You have to start broader first with what type of risk you want to take and what your asset allocation should be right now. And frankly, it should be leaning heavily on the value side of the market as well as foreign stocks. Now we're heading into a break, our final break. So give me a call now. Bill from Northern California, hang on, you'll be next, but give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Now, let's briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which will be distributed tomorrow. And this week in the KPP Insights section, we discuss the effects of the government shutdown. And in the stock ideas section, we mention a U.S.-based personal security firm and a global research-driven pharmaceutical company. And on the portfolio management section, we touch on the bond market as an indicator. And if you're interested in learning more, visit investtalk.com to subscribe. The newsletter will come to your inbox every Saturday. And Bill from Northern California asking about NTR, listening on AM 1220 KDOW. NTR, Bill, why are you looking at it? What interests you about it?
You know, I used to have potash back in the day, 10 years ago or more. And it was a pretty good dividend payer. And, it had its ups and downs with the commodity. And, I became interested. I think the other was a Mosaic, the company that it merged with to make mm-hmm. this company. Mm-hmm. And, it just seemed like almost close to a monopoly. And they have a commodity that's needed in pretty much all the agriculture. So it doesn't mean they guaranteed profits or anything like that, but it seemed like a very kind of more stable business, and they pay a good dividend. So I liked it for the dividend, and I looked for things like bargain shopping, and I bought this last year between July and December in the mid to upper 40s, and so I've held it for that time period, and I just going forward, the financial strength of the company and their dividend security, if you can add any insight to that, I'd appreciate it.
All right, looking at Nutrien, NTR is the symbol, and this is in the fertilizer space, and it's fairly large, $29 billion market cap. Earnings are expected to be up 30% this year to $4.55, but that's still well down from the 2022 high, which is at $13.19. but well above the 2019 pre-pandemic level of $2.12. Now, you say it has a monopoly. Well, the problem is that very few monopolies have return equity in the single digits. Okay. And if you look long term, that's what you have here. You have a name that's profitability is consistently positive, but it's been up and down. And it's the material space ultimately. And in most materials, you're price takers. And while they may be one of the largest here in the US, there's fertilizer producers all over the world. And then you have to look at other competitors as well, like a CF Industries. That's a name that within this space, I would rather own. They have higher profitability, return equity is 20% versus high single digits for a Nutrien. And historically, their profit growth has been more consistent. In fact, in 2019, they made $1.92, and this year they're supposed to make $8.39. So you can see even better when it comes to a growth perspective than a Nutrien. Now, I'm not just saying you should go buy CF. What?
CF Industries. It's CF. I just wanted the company and the ticker.
Yeah, exactly. CF Industries. Now, once again, I'm not saying you go buy CF. I'm just comparing two within the space. And then you look at Mosaic as another one. Okay. And that one is a more similar to a Nutrien, shall we say. And then you look at their profitability. That's also kind of high single digits return on equity. So you have Nutrien and Mosaic with high single digit return on equity with decent growth, but not amazing. And then you have CF, which historically just has better, more consistent profitability. Now you're going to get a higher dividend yield out of Nutrien, 3.67 versus CF is 2.22. But as I always say, you almost have to ignore that. It's should be very low on anyone's priority list when it comes to buying a company. It's more about profitability, balance sheet, consistency of their business, how they can defend their business from competitors and the rest of the market, et cetera. And so I rather take the lower yield and a better business than CF. Now, in the material space, I would allocate to other areas, frankly. Probably wouldn't buy any. We don't own any of these for clients. Let's just say that. And so, but if I'm comparing the bigger ones within the space, CF continues to be near the top of the list. Thanks for the call. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. And if today's show made you think about your own picture and your strategy, whether you should have exposure to places like fertilizers or agriculture in general, or should you have more gold, industrial names? Are you in too many overvalued AI plays that are subject to CapEx reversals, etc.? Well, any of those and more, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a no-cost portfolio review with myself or Luke. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about a free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, as well as our YouTube channel. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.